Mark One. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense
with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And here we're here with another ad hoc episode 103, I guess, whatever you want to call it.
All right, that's enough of that shit.
That's enough of that.
That's enough of that.
1.3.
All right, here we are. All right, the real Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott. You want to tell them what that was there, John?
The biggest blunder of my career. That was
your webcasting career.
That was my webcasting career. Yesterday, an hour and 46 minutes of that. No idea that I had just an open mic on my portable recorder recording the whole show.
So the music that we heard in my voice was recorded from your cans.
No.
You had your cans
it
up
was,
so loud.
It was bled. It was bleeding.
Bleeding.
It was so powerful that it was bleeding from a cable that was attached to it, but it wasn't.
It so was it wasn't from your cans. In,
no, no.
So an hour and 45 of that, we finished up. I said, okay, John, upload it. I'll tag it. And John plays it. He's like, what? What the fuck? What's going on? I didn't change anything. Dude, man.
I'm so sorry. I fucked up bad.
So that's why we're back.
We're back, yeah. We don't want to leave the fans hanging.
Rectify.
No, rectify.
Rectify. And a lot of things have happened on this Monday. What a news day it's been. So it's almost a blessing.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
No doubt, John.
No doubt, Scott. No doubt.
Oh, I just got done listening to Punky's latest show. And Paulie B is under the impression that he's staying with you, John.
Oh, really?
Well, yes, he said he's emailed you. You haven't returned his
emails. I haven't gotten one email from him.
He's coming in Saturday night. And he's planning on staying at your place Saturday night and Sunday night.
I don't know how he's going to do that. He's going to have to sleep with my father-in-law.
With Buzz?
Yeah, with Buzz.
And then leaving on Monday.
Buzz is an ex-Marine.
Buzz wouldn't mind that, would he?
He brings his gun with him.
And also,
I think Paulie B forgot that we get to have guns here in the States, you know.
They get to have guns
no,
in
they
the
don't.
UK, don't they? They don't?
No. They could have like a hunting rifle, and then they got to be anally searched before they can even use it.
Is that why so many men have hunting rifles in the UK?
That's right, Scott.
Now, what we were going to do tonight was head over to the studio and clean that place up for Tony Hearn's benefit, and our benefit, too. I mean, we haven't cleaned that place in 2 years. But that got postponed till tomorrow evening.
Right.
When we will be there with vacuums and sanitary products.
No doubt.
To clean that place up, John, so that Tony Hearn is in the finest studio that there could possibly be.
Well, I mean, it gives him a little privacy, so he can use it as a stabbing cabin if he wants. Him and Paulie
right.
B.
Right, like for example, if he's staying at your place, there's no stabbing cabin going on. But over at the studio, hey, anything goes. Right on.
Right.
Right on. So we got to get over there and clean that place up tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that, you know.
Yeah.
It's good to clean. It's my maternal instinct.
Oh, by the way, I went over there real quick to pick something up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an auction sign outside the building.
What do you mean?
The whole place is being auctioned off.
The guy defaulted on his loan?
I don't know. There's a big giant sign that says auction October 25th, bidding starting at $450,000.
Well, how quickly do those things turn around? Like, let's say the new owner comes to the auction.
Oh.
Oh. And they accept his bid on the 26th. Can he say, okay, get the fuck out?
Yeah. Why not, man?
Wow.
We're month to month.
We may have to come up. We may have to come up. Well, they can't kick us out before the end of September, then. That's all I'm concerned about.
No. The auction starts October 25th.
Oh, October 25th.
September.
You said September.
No, I didn't.
You stupid ass. Roll tape.
I said October.
You pole smoker.
You fucking dickweed. I said October.
You said September.
All right, let me rewind.
Come on, man. How much wine have you had?
October 25th. See? October 25th.
The other thing I found out from listening to the latest Punky is the songs that they are going to perform. Too Drunk to Fuck. Too Drunk to Fuck. We already knew
about
that one.
Too Drunk to Talk.
Too Drunk to Fuck. We already knew about that one.
Yeah.
Should I Stay or Should I Go?
Oh
yeah,
God.
I don't know if you could handle that. You never got that drum part down. Maybe I could play drums so that you could play bass.
Yeah, you could go ahead and play drums on that, man.
And then Blister in the Sun by the Violent Femmes.
Ah.
Blister.
Nice.
Did we used to do that song? With Dan?
Probably. Doesn't matter. I can play anything.
One, because I... Something, two. Is that Blister in the Sun?
You want to throw a Rush song at me? I can play it.
All right. Well, Tony's going to be there for a while, so maybe we can do some Rush.
Do some Genesis. You want to throw a Weckle tune at me?
Right on.
Odd Times, 3, 4, 5, 8, 7, 8.
Oh, and the other thing
7, 4.
Rick's not going to be able to practice on Monday, so just me, you, and Tony can get together.
Why?
Practice
on
Monday.
What's up?
I don't know. He's got something going on. I talked to him today I just to confirm that we didn't have practice tonight. And that we're practicing Thursday. And he said, yeah. And then next Monday, I won't be able to make it.
That's weird of him.
That is weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because he usually gives an explanation. He didn't give me an explanation.
Yeah. Or he's got some, he's feels really guilty about it. So he'll show up anyway.
Oh, the other thing is I listened to the latest Air Out My Shorts where I was a phone-in guest.
Yeah.
And at the end of that phone call, they assured me that they would cut out all the Pauly B stuff. And that didn't happen. They left all the Pauly B stuff in.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to make of that. And I'm wondering if, obviously, Pauly B didn't hear it before he recorded his show because he didn't mention anything about that show.
Right.
But some of the topics discussed, especially concerning the word whore and Pauly B, I thought were going to be edited out. That's what I was informed, but they were left in.
Dude, man, don't you learn from that? You're not supposed to be saying shit.
I'm not supposed to be saying what? I didn't bring it up. She brought it up.
I don't know.
I was hammering her about Kevin Smith.
I didn't hear it, so I don't know.
I said, well, what's this with Kevin Smith? Kevin Smith. And she said, well, you know, that's really not the reason. The real reason is Pauly B.
I might be one of the biggest cocks on the planet.
Pauly B,
the other thing is Pauly B is already scheduling a podcast for Sunday night with TTN.
What?
So we'll have on Sunday night. He comes in on Saturday. And then on Sunday night, he wants to podcast with us.
I got to get all the shit back over there.
I'll help you with that. We can do that tomorrow when we clean the studio.
Yeah. All right.
So we'll have Pauly B and Tony Hearn on Sunday, next Sunday for the podcast. And I have a special UK-USA shitter shinola for next Sunday, John.
Nice.
Right on.
All right.
So we got that to look forward to.
Nice.
That's nice.
So how about the Emmys, man? Did you check that out?
I did check out the Emmys. Oh, one thing. If Tony Hearn's listening, Rick also said you could stay at his place.
Oh, yeah.
The stabbing cabin would go away as well. But you'd have your own bathroom, you'd have your own room, and you'd have what, 2-block walk to the
not even
transportation?
Not even half.
Is
a
it
block.
A longer walk than the studio? The studio's like what, 3 blocks?
Yeah.
So it's roughly the same from major transportation.
No.
No?
It's less.
It's less at Rick's house.
It's way less.
At Rick's house, it's less.
It's a half a block.
A half a block?
Yeah, dude. It's right across the street from the Burger King.
Is the track still open?
Yeah.
So he can also do that if he wants to blow some time. Hang out at the track and bet on some horses, John.
Right.
The other thing is, what I found out from you is that Rick treats people he doesn't know like 100 times better than he treats people that he does know.
Yeah.
So if Tony Hearn did stay at Rick's, he would have like a gourmet dinner every night. And he would also probably be able to play every guitar that Rick's ever owned, which I've never even seen. He won't even let me see them. But Tony Hearn would probably be able to play, for example, his Rickenbacker.
Yeah.
Or whatever else he has.
And I think he'd massage Tony's calves also. Yeah.
You think that would be part of the deal?
Yeah. Maybe inappropriate, but, you know, it's the American way.
Yeah, I've known Rick for 15 years. I've been in this band for 3 years. I still haven't seen the guitar room.
That is one big pile of shit.
It is. It's one big pile of shit, Scott.
Sorry, I'm pouring another glass of the Cabernet Sauvignon.
Oh, dude, I drank that whole bottle last night.
The whole bottle of?
I had some really sweet shit. What the hell is it called? Not Gewürztraminer.
Yeah, like the women. The
Muscat.
Women like that stuff.
Muscat.
Muscat, right on. Sweet,
yeah,
sweet
the
wine.
Women. Let's see you drink some tequila, you big pussy.
Yeah, why don't you just go get like a wine cooler, okay?
Oh, listen to you.
Maybe some Mike's Hard.
Yeah, that's what you'd like, Mike's Hard in your ass.
Hey, do you think Mike D is going to show up to Festivus Tithanus?
Mike D is Mike D.
You know, I went on Podcast Alley today, and I'm looking at the top 10 podcasts.
Yeah.
And they have maybe 10 votes, or 10 comments, but 400 votes.
Wow.
Come on, how does it? And the comments that they have are, Red Bar Radio rules.
Fuck you.
That's the whole comment. Come on.
Tet-anus.
Who are you trying to fool?
Yeah,
who are you trying to fool?
Not me.
Not me.
Hey, did I tell you I went to see the Bourne Ultimatum?
Yeah, you told me that yesterday, but we had to throw that whole podcast in the garbage.
What do you mean?
It was beautiful. Yeah, didn't I tell you about that shaky camera?
Yeah.
Like the cameraman had
almost
Tourette's
made me throw up.
Parkinson's or something?
But I got over it, and I thought it was really kick-ass.
I never got over it, but it towards the end of the movie, it became less of a distraction.
Yeah,
but
and it
still,
was stressful.
The quick
very
cuts.
Very stressful movie.
And sometimes I couldn't even tell what was going on. What the hell's going on? It reminds me of that stupid-ass rock movie.
You talk too much.
That was pretty good with, who's the dude from American Pie? And The Rock were in this movie together.
Right.
And The Rock is a professional wrestler. A professional goddamn wrestler.
No, he's not. Was he a wrestler?
Yeah,
he was
a wrestler.
Was. You're right.
And the director couldn't figure out how to put a fight scene together with The Rock. He had the cuts were so fast. Well, at least I couldn't tell what the hell was going on. And the same thing with the Bourne Ultimatum. I couldn't tell what the hell was going on.
Oh, I could tell.
Especially
that's the way
from
I fight.
somebody who directed a fight scene, John.
Yeah.
I know how to put it together.
Oh, yeah. I've seen your fight scene.
Right
on. Lift a guy up in the air, punch him in the face 3 times. A couple karate moves and a flip,
hey,
and you're done.
I was under time constraints, okay?
Yeah, I don't know why you didn't put the zowie, pow, bam, zip, zow.
Yeah, that would have been a good idea. Why didn't you tell me that?
If anybody knows you, they know they can't tell you anything. Anything.
Oh, come on. Are you kidding me?
No.
I'm very
receptive
to ideas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that sounds like a great idea. Okay, stand over here and ignore exactly what you said. All right.
Could you please give me an example? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Scott, what's my motivation? Can you give me some motivation?
Just motivation for what?
Stand over there and you're going to say...
just stick to the script, okay?
What script? There was no script when it came to me. Everybody got something written down. Hey, ad lib, come up with something. You're the phone, it's broken. You got to... You press the buttons or something and act like you're upset.
No, you had a script.
I did.
I
not.
Said, okay, here's what the deal is. You're going to try to record your greeting message for your voicemail. So
no
just
script.
Do that a couple of times and keep screwing up and start over again.
Hey, look at my script. Add some stuff if you want. Okay, I read it. Oh, that looks good. Add a couple of lines here. Guy gets hit in the head with a phone, this and that, blah, blah, blah. You're like, oh, yeah, that's great. Thanks a lot. Here, I'm almost done with the first scene. Check it out. And I look, and all the shit I wrote is gone. Everything. Do you say, I decided I didn't want to use it? No. In your Machiavellian way, you just delete.
Why is this the first I'm hearing of this?
You liar.
Are you talking about the Arabie video?
No, I'm talking about that script about the band going across country for some fucked up gig and somebody's sister and he's looking through the keyhole. And
yeah, we never filmed that. So you're just talking about
never
script changes.
Yeah, script changes, like the entire section I put in there.
Yeah?
Yeah. Also, delete. Here, I got the first scene. This is how we'll film it. And I start reading and reading. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Where's the part I put in there? Oh, what? Oh, you were serious about that? Oh, I thought you were just kidding. Yeah, that's how it is, man. That's how it is.
Wow.
No doubt.
You know, as you mentioned that, it's
years
coming back
ago.
To me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was years ago.
Still in therapy.
Years ago. Years ago.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
That's out of sight.
Yeah, exactly. Give me one right,
so
example.
Festivus Titanus.
Festivus
29th September, Saturday night. Pauly B, Tony Hearn are going to be there. The Word Horde might show up. Pressing Buttons might show up if he can, you know.
That's if Rick doesn't back out on the gig.
Why would Rick back out on the
gig?
Because
there's all the attention's being driven towards TTN.
He's not going to back out. Here's what we do. We drive the attention in his mind, in his perception, that it's a reunion gig.
Yeah, it's got to be his idea, though.
Right. Okay. That's fine. I don't care. That's fine
I
with me.
I make fake foreskins.
And depending on how good Tony Hearn is, Rick can walk away. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right on.
Hey, yeah, you don't mind if these guys come up and play a couple of songs. Did you ask the band leader? Yeah, I asked John. Oh, that was it. Right then he was going to cut himself.
But I was kidding, right?
It's a Canon record.
John's talking about practice. What happened is I made this commitment to Tony Hearn and Pauly B about playing some songs in our set.
Who the fuck said that?
But I had just talked to John about it. I didn't talk to Rick about it. So when we talked about it at practice, the conversation John just said took place where Rick said, well, did you run it by the leader of the band? And I said, yeah, I talked to John. But it is a Canon Rue chord.
Yeah. Oh.
I didn't sense he got bent out of shape by that.
He's very sensitive.
Is he?
Oh, my God.
This is like a crybaby emo kid?
Yeah. Worse.
Worse than a crybaby emo kid.
Crybaby tetanus kid.
All right. Well, how does he respond to me just telling him to do it?
Do what? Do it?
Yeah, that they're going to come up and play. How does he respond to that? He doesn't show up to the gig? Is that how he responds?
I don't know.
I guess we'll find out. All right, then. So what we need to do is on Monday, we need to use that practice to try to come up with an entire 3-hour set list with Tony Hearn.
With the Chavs.
With the Chavs, yeah.
Just
well, that should be
just
fun.
Just in case.
No, I think Rick is more tolerant of that. I mean, we talked about this. You brought your son's coach over. What was his name, Mike?
Yeah, that's different.
Why is that different? Rick was very accommodating to that guy.
Yeah, because he saw the guy couldn't play at all.
He couldn't play at all. Yeah. He was kind of an a-hole, kind of invading your space, drunk, belligerent, and Rick was very accommodating.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't talented. So what you're saying is if Tony Hearn is very talented, Rick will sense that as a threat.
Dude, who knows? What the fuck? This is psychology. You think there's actually an answer?
You've been with Rick for 15 years.
And I still can't figure out what makes him tick.
But he has walked out on gigs before.
Yeah.
How many times?
Two times with me. To the point where we almost went to blows.
You mean fisticuffs,
yeah.
Right? Not like
orally. Blowing. No.
Right.
And another time he just like walked. We're rehearsing before the gig. At the gig. And he just disappears. We don't know where the hell he is. And we look out the window of this bar. Mm-hmm. And he's standing on the street corner just looking around. And then he disappears. We don't see him until almost the minute we're going to play.
But he did show up the minute you were going to play.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. He'll be fine.
Tony Rossi told me a story where in the middle of a gig, Rick just took off, set his guitar down, ran outside, and just started running and never came back.
Well, if you played with Tony Rossi, wouldn't you do the same?
I don't know.
All right. He'll be there. He's more mature now. He's a father of four, right?
Right.
Yeah, come on. He's almost had a heart attack. He knows what's important in life.
Right.
It's this gig.
Right.
Right on.
Right on. Right on, Scott.
It's going to make him a superstar.
No doubt.
John. All right, then. What'd you have about Sally Field? I digress.
Oh, yeah, Sally Field on the Emmys last night.
Before you
get... Oh, Jesus. Right. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what I say. It won't be...
Before
it's
you get
exactly
to that,
we're talking about
we're talking about censorship.
Yeah, okay. Whatever. We're talking about whatever you want to talk about, okay? Just
I don't have audio for my censorship story.
Censorship?
You have audio, so let's do my censorship story first. And it is the Emmy as well. Now, a week before the Emmys, they gave out some, like, bogus Emmys that I guess they don't broadcast. Or maybe they broadcast, but I have no idea. Anyway, Kathy Griffin is a comedian, and she won for Creative Arts Emmy last weekend for her reality show, My Life on the D-List. And here's what they censored out of her speech. In her speech, Griffin said that a lot of people come here and thank Jesus for this award. I want you to know that no one had less to do with this award than Jesus. She went on to hold up her Emmy, make an off-color remark about Jesus. I think she said, Jesus, suck it. And proclaim, this award is my God now. The comedian's remarks were condemned by the Catholic League president, Bill Donahue, who called them vulgar, in-your-face brand of hate speech, John. Hate speech.
Against who?
Against a fairy tale
Santa
figure.
Claus?
That's who. Right on.
The Easter Bunny?
If we
Bunny?
Said those things about Easter Bunny, we'd get the same kind of condemnation.
Santa Claus. The Easter Bunny.
The Catholic League, an anti-defamation group, called on the TV Academy to denounce Griffin's obscene and blasphemous comment at Sunday's ceremony.
Oh,
and I don't know if they did that or not.
Give me a break.
But I know that even in this article, they cut out her Jesus suck it because they didn't even want to. They just said off-color remark about Christ. I mean, what is the world coming to, John? We can't make off-color comments about Christ?
Yeah, man. It's this religion rules all, my friend.
It's not
laws among men. It's laws based on the Bible.
Yeah, it's laws based on fairy tales.
Yeah.
That's great.
No doubt.
No
That's
doubt,
a bunch
John.
Of shit.
I'm sorry. Let's digress. Let's get back into Sally
Mine's
Field.
Not even as good.
And her Emmy Award speech that was also censored, I heard.
It was censored right at the end.
Right at the end.
And the Emmy goes to Sally Field.
You like me. You really
this
like me.
This is the third Emmy win and seventh nomination for Sally Field. She won her first Emmy in 1977 for her role in Sybil.
Sybil, you remember that one?
Can that be? These wonderful actors. Okay, I gotta cook really, really quick. Really, really quick. Okay, this is Brothers and Sisters. It's a big old team, a big old family, and that's who it belongs to. It belongs to our three fathers of the show. That's the incredible Ken Olin, the poet and creator, John Robin Bates, and our leader and our engine, Greg Berlanti. It belongs to the mother of the show, the real mother of the show, Sarah Kaplan. It belongs to our incredible, eclectic, genius writers. All of them are endlessly energetic and supportive crew.
Just like
to
this speech.
That I get to stand across from Rachel Griffiths and Calista Flockhart.
And blah, blah,
to
blah,
my
blah,
family
blah.
That I would be nothing without them. But at the heart of Nora Walker, she is a mother. So surely this belongs to all the mothers of the world. May they be seen, may their work be valued and raised, and to especially the mothers who stand with an open heart and wait for their children to come home from danger, from harm's way, and from war. To war. I am proud to be one of those women. And let's face it, if the mothers ruled the world, there would be no. Thank you so much.
That is goddamn nauseous.
Did you know what she said?
Yeah, she said goddamn, and they cut
no,
her
if
off.
The mothers ruled the world, there would be no goddamn war.
And they cut that whole thing out.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable. What network was that on?
Fox, I believe.
This is the first time I've heard this clip. I heard about it. I heard that she got censored, but the first time I heard it, and I got to tell you, Sally Field is a goddamn dope. Jesus Christ. And it just goes to show, if you're not that intellectual, like if you're not on par with John or Scott, get into acting.
Right.
Because you can be the biggest dumbass. And all you have to do is pretend to be somebody else, and you could have a career. Well, I guess you got to be good looking, too.
No doubt.
Well, not necessarily.
Scott.
Ugly Betty.
Ugly
won,
Betty, right?
Ugly Betty,
she's
America Ferrera.
Latino. She's a Latino, I think. First Latino.
She won an Emmy.
Yeah.
So you don't really have to be that good looking.
No. She's not that ugly.
You just have to pretend how to be other people.
Right. Pretend.
You could be a goddamn dimwit, is evidenced by Sally Field, who if somebody doesn't write a goddamn script for her, can't get a sentence out. That was unbelievable.
And I was like, maybe they edited her out because they just wanted her to shut up.
Well, they started playing the music.
Blah, 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 blah.
Who the fuck said that?
And the other thing is, what she had to say at the beginning, that has no meaning to me. It has meaning to, like, what, four people on the planet, the people that she named? But other than that, it's meaningless.
Yeah.
And then when she finally has something to say of meaning to the majority of the audience, they cut her off.
Right.
Goddamn. That's what they're saying. They didn't like goddamn.
Goddamn war.
No, not the war. Just goddamn. That's blasphemous, John.
Why didn't
she
just,
couldn't say
why
that.
Why didn't you just bleep out God and then let her say damn war?
The censors weren't fast enough on their trigger finger.
Yeah,
apparently.
I guess not.
But all that yib 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 yib, that reminds me of something else.
Yib 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 yib.
I sent you a clip. It's called Short Clip. If you can play that right now.
Short clip.
Short clip.
All right. Short clip.
Go ahead and play that.
Son of a bitch! Son of a bitch! Son of a bitch! Gun.
What am? Why am managing up? Hello.
That's all, folks.
Did you recognize that middle clip?
No.
That was from last show.
Was it?
Yeah.
What's
a megada 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 megada?
What am? Why am I megada? Hello.
That's all, folks. Was that me?
That was you. I sped it up a little.
That's
bit,
funny.
You know, to kind of.
What am? Why am I megada? Hello. That's all,
folks. That's great.
You're just
that's
like
great.
Sally Field, man.
That's great, Scott.
Humming, 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 humming.
How about OJ, man?
OJ.
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 He
you
got
arrested.
OJ?
He's you got
going
the OJ
down. Yeah, he's going down.
Yeah,
it's,
I think
it's,
so too.
It's pretty nasty. This is like taken off of 15 different websites, I think. And I think there's better copies.
All right, before you play the audio, let's get the story. Geez, so OJ in Las Vegas.
OJ. Oh, right. That's right. We talked about it yesterday, but nobody's going to hear that.
Nobody heard that, right, because that I don't know where that's going to end up. A sports memorabilia collector who accused OJ Simpson of armed robbery said Saturday that he was on OJ's side and wants to drop the case. Okay, so OJ and his buddies stormed this guy's hotel room in Vegas and demanded to get these collectibles back that were OJ collectibles. Yeah. And they also did it with a gun. So it's armed robbery.
Right. And at the worst, if it isn't robbery at all, it's assault.
Assault.
You'll hear.
There's
and
too
they
much
got,
salt.
And they got a recording of it.
I want this thing to go away. I have health problems, said Alfred Beardsley, the collector who told police on Thursday that Simpson and several other men stormed a Vegas hotel room and stole memorabilia at gunpoint. Beardsley told the Associated Press he is not interested in pursuing the case. And I'm thinking, why wouldn't he be interested in pursuing the case? He recognized who was stealing from him.
Yeah.
It was stolen at gunpoint, and we talked about this yesterday, and you had a theory, and your theory was
that he was illegally forging. Well, I saw a show once where criminal masterminds, where they caught this guy, and it took forever because they were like, how the hell, we can't prove that this guy is selling forged baseballs and forged signatures and all this. I mean, the guy had like boxes of baseballs signed by Babe Ruth, and he figured out a way how to age them and forge them. And he got busted finally. And it could be that this guy is in the same kind of racket. And he doesn't
forgery
want any
racket.
Attention. Yeah,
he doesn't want anybody coming around. Hey, OJ, you can take that shit. I don't care.
I was at a Cubs game once, and I saw little kids forging signatures on their baseball cards.
Well, I had a different theory. In this story, they said Beardsley said he called police only because the items were valuable, and if he had not reported them as stolen, he would be held accountable for all the stuff. But here's the reason I think that he dropped the charges, or said he's not pressing charges. Beardsley said Friday that Simpson had called him to apologize. Now, you know Simpson didn't call him to apologize. Simpson called him to threaten his fucking life.
He said, you know, I fucking cut somebody's head off almost.
I cut two people's fucking heads
I'll
off,
cut
and you're
your
going to be goddamn
fucking
next. So here's what you do. You say, I called you to apologize, and you have no interest in pressing charges. That was my theory.
Yeah. No doubt.
But now OJ goes on to say, the police, since my trouble, have not worked out for me. He said, noting that whenever he has called the police, it just becomes a story about OJ. OJ. I'm at the point where I don't rely on the police, and this is not a police issue anyway.
What are you, Secret Squirrel?
He said, expressing hope that it will soon be resolved. And they resolved it today by arresting the motherfucker because in Vegas, John.
That's funny because that's the words he uses throughout his tirade.
What's that?
Motherfucker.
Motherfucker. And what happened is, in Vegas, John, and I learned this from Ocean 11.
You learned it?
I learned it, that nothing happens in a casino without being filmed.
Oh, right. right, yeah.
So all of this stuff is on film, yeah. And they have goddamn audio of this stuff.
And what a dumbass.
So they arrested him today because he did. They have video and audio of him with a goddamn gun breaking in and stealing stuff, which is great. I think it's great. Yeah. I can't wait till it goes to trial.
Yeah, here, you want to hear the audio?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Here it is.
That's it, man?
Yeah.
Who are these losers hanging out with OJ?
I don't know, man.
Doing their sting operation. His posse.
Get your back against the wall. You steal my fucking shit. You know, they're all pointing the guns, and OJ's running around making the commands.
That is unbelievable. That is un-goddamn believable. And just hearing that audio, I think back to when he butchered Nicole Simpson and Ron Goldman. It had to be the same, even more intensity. And how fucking awful, just because this guy's a goddamn lunatic. And this jury that acquits him, what a bunch of cocksuckers. I mean, Jesus Christ. This guy's DNA was all over every fucking thing. And it wasn't, who was the guy that
Furman.
They pinned it on? Furman. It wasn't Furman.
Oh, the cop.
The cop, yeah. Furman's an idiot, but he didn't plant DNA all over goddamn everything.
Remember when we were in New York?
I remember that,
and
John.
And the cops were telling us to get back from the Radio City Music Hall back entrance.
And I remember, because we tried to sneak in.
Yeah, I said under my breath, chill out, Furman. And the guy heard me. He spun around. Like,
we did get to...
he heard you, man.
We did get a face-to-face with Jewel.
Oh, yeah, that's right. FaceTime with Jewel.
Did we have that on video?
Yeah.
Because I said, and you are? Because that really burns celebrities when you don't know who they are.
I said Jewel, that, and I attributed it to the store.
The grocery store.
The grocery store.
All right, so we're getting off topic. So this guy is a killer, John.
Yeah.
And, okay, so hypothetically, let's say you and I, we killed two people. We went to trial.
Right.
We got off. You're going to think you're goddamn invincible, right? You're going to think you can get a posse together and storm a guy's room with guns.
Posse.
Shout the F word, tell him nobody leaves, and threaten to kill him, and then take all the stuff back.
Yeah.
And you're going to think you're going to get away with that. And so that's why I'm thinking he is not going to make a deal. You know what I'm saying? He's going to take it to trial.
You got to understand, dude. What he's up against is at least 10 years in prison.
That doesn't mean anything
to him.
No,
it does.
He was up against life in prison.
He's done, dude.
And
he's
beat it.
He's going to prison on this one. Guaranteed.
You and I thought he was going to prison on the last one. That didn't happen.
But
who knows
him on tape?
What numbskulls are going to be on this jury?
They got him on tape threatening people.
Yeah, but I heard. But I'm.
Yeah, but a yeah, but a yeah, but a
yeah, but a yeah, but a yeah, but a. I'm talking about OJ's mentality. OJ is saying to himself, "I'm in the right. That guy's wrong. Let's take it to trial. Let's take it to trial. I'm going to win because I'm right." He's delusional. Delusional, John.
Delusional.
And I can't wait for that trial. It's going to be great. It's going to be better than the first one.
The trial of century?
Two. If the glove does not fit, John, you must quit.
What are they going to say? If the tape doesn't fit, you must not listen to it.
Right. Who knows what they'll come up with some slogan. OJ will hire the high-powered attorneys.
Slogan. Yeah.
It's a goddamn joke.
It's a goddamn
the justice system is a joke. It failed. Ron Goldman, and it failed Nicole Simpson by letting that brutal murderer off, only to run around and terrorize this memorabilia guy.
I was waiting for him to yell while he was yelling.
If I did it.
Hey, motherfucker, you steal from me? Hold on, I dropped my knife. Cling, cling, cling. Hey, I got an email from Pat McGroin.
Pat McGroin?
Yeah.
Oh, is this about the yen and the yarn?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, let me yawn while you read this email. I didn't understand the original conversation. How am I supposed to understand the email that's
really simple?
Your.
He says, he's not correcting anything, man.
He is correcting. Why would he email if he wasn't correcting? He wasn't saying, yeah, right on, John.
I misspoke about the denomination. Dickhead. John and Scott, John was a little confused about the story about the Japanese yen. Let me try to explain. The yen can be borrowed at zero interest. An investor then buys a bond.
That doesn't mean anything to me. A little confused.
With a return of 8%. Basically, he's just saying that it's traded on the open market. My contention was that...
And the yawn is not?
The yawn is not.
Is not.
Right. And it can be manipulated.
So you can't trade the yawn. So the yen can be manipulated, but the yawn cannot.
No. The yen cannot be manipulated. The yawn can.
The yawn can.
And the
See,
way
that still doesn't mean anything to me.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
And let me explain it to you real quick.
Real quick.
It's really simple. It has to do with the trade deficit, okay?
Okay.
In order to keep the yuan at its value, which is undervalued, they have to keep buying U.S. Treasury bonds.
Okay.
And they keep buying them, okay? Well, no, that means that we owe them money. No, keep buying them. That's great. Then they own the United States. They
okay.
keep buying
so
Treasury
what?
Bonds. And that way, because they don't trade their money on the open market, it's undervalued. So that means they're not paying their people enough money. So we get a good deal on the goods that we get from China, but it also screws the people that live here in the United States that are in manufacturing, because they could probably compete on a fair and open market with China. For instance, a DVD player that sells for like $100.
Right.
And if they actually valued the yuan correctly, it might really cost them $115. And a factory here in the States can make one for $110, therefore competing with China and leveraging that cost. So it's good for the consumer, obviously, and also good for the person that can offer the lowest price.
So why are we doing it? It sounds like the fair and open market would be the way to go. Why are we doing that? Are we getting kickbacks? Is the W getting kickbacks from China?
Unknown.
Unknown.
Maybe.
Who knows? All I know is our economy is in the shitter. And it's not going anywhere but down, John. Down. All Pauly B and Tony Hearn were doing were yakking about the exchange rate on their latest punky and how they're going to come over here as kings. Because our dollar is so low.
It says here from NPR, is it best to just do nothing about this? In short, no. Most economists and policymakers in the United States and in China agree that eventually China must revalue its currency or else global imbalance, America's $200 billion annual trade deficit with China, will grow too large.
Imbalance, that's way of the Bob, man.
Right.
Imbalance, no doubt.
There's a wide difference of opinion over how quickly China should revalue and what other measures need to happen to prevent painful economic costs.
Here's what I'm saying. China, you need to do what we say because no one else on the planet buys the shit that you produce, okay? We're
Except
the only
us.
Ones that buy that shit. That's what I'm saying.
But yeah,
all
if they
toys with lead paint.
If they
We're
do,
the only ones that buy
right,
that. We're
right.
the only ones stupid enough to buy that stuff.
And you can't tariff them because it'll hurt our exports.
Right on.
You can't impose a huge tariff tax, import tax.
Tariff, yeah.
Because, you know, it'll hurt our exports. Well, I'm running for president, Scott. All you got to do is have a fucked up country accent and be a dumbass and you can be president.
Hey, Monica, come on in the oral office.
I used to play the sax, but I traded in for the harmonica.
Well, John, I had one other celebrity story, and this news just broke today.
What you got?
Britney Spears. I don't know if you've heard, but Britney Spears is really going down the tubes. And if she would only call John and Stott.
John and Stott.
We can rectify that situation, John.
Rectify it.
Here's what happened to Britney today, and I think we should blow a call into her. Does she have a MySpace page? Maybe we should send her like a private message.
Oh, let me Skype
Monday
her.
Was one of the worst days Britney Spears has had in a long time, John. First, her lawyer quit. Okay, so the lawyer walked out on her right before she's supposed to go to a custody hearing.
Yeah.
Then her manager dropped her today, all in the same day.
No.
And finally, the day ended for her with Fox News reporting that Spears will lose temporary custody of her two kids.
Wow.
The news network claims that the law... Well, Fox, a news network, I disagree with
Fox
that.
Fox Noise Network.
The Noise Network claims that the Los Angeles Family Court received new information over the weekend, and based on that and all the info they already have, they will give full custody to KFED.
Custody.
The ruling is expected to be handed down shortly, John. So KFED, he's got this woman that he's got a child with already. Then he impregnates her again. And then while she's pregnant, he leaves her for Britney Spears.
Wow.
Has two kids. They get divorced. He doesn't give a shit about the two kids he had with this other woman. But Britney's got the balance, all right? She's got the big balance, the checking account. She's got the budget, the dollars, the dinero, John, that motivates a KFED to hire a lawyer,
no doubt,
and say, I'm taking the goddamn kids, hoping that Britney pays them off with a big lump sum. So it's a KFED lottery. That's the KFED lottery.
No doubt.
So if Britney would just call us, we would get her kids back, we would get her career back on track, but we'd be talking tough love, John, tough love. None of this yes men. We're not yes men.
Right.
We're going to tell her what to do, and she's got to goddamn do it. Oh, you know who else offered their services that must be a listener of TTN? Simon Cowell.
Really? Think
said
so?
That he would manage Britney and get her back on track.
So we got competitions,
he must have heard us and said, hey, that's a great idea. I'm gonna put that out there. But Britney needs to come to the originators, okay? The ones that could work magic.
Right.
Magic, John. But again, it's tough love. She's got to do what we say. And she's got to take criticism. Which who knows if she can take.
Hey, dude, I got some jokes.
Hold on. Now, Justin Timberlake.
See what I'm saying, man? Hold on. I need to yap a lot more. Justin Timberlake
the luckiest guy on the planet?
Yep.
For like... dissolving that relationship with Britney. What
Who
is he
cares?
Thinking
why,
right now?
Why do you got to spin it to the positive?
Justin Timberlake thinking
keep
right
with
now?
With the decadence.
I mean, he's rolling with Scarlett Johansson and Jessica Biel. And he could have. And I wonder how close
he's
he came
all sexy back, man.
To deciding not to be with Britney. And how close that decision was to be with Britney. Lucky SOB.
Yeah, why don't you Skype him and find out?
Can we? Is he on Skype?
So
let's do it.
Justin T, can
hey,
I call
Justin,
you?
It's John.
Can I
Scott
call you
from
JT?
Total Talk Nonsense. Hey, love, sexy back.
Hey, can I call you JT? This is Scott here.
Well, the first question I'd ask him is why did he bring that big black brother up on and who took his award at MTV? Did he ever get his award back?
Yeah, he gave it back. Sexy back, baby.
Sexy back. I'll give it back to you, Justin. Bend over.
Hey.
I'm going to give it sexy back.
A guy walks into a bar with a slab of asphalt under his arm and says, a beer, please, and one for the road.
Okay.
And
that's great. You got a laugh track for that one?
A guy with dyslexia walks into a bra.
A bra?
With dyslexia.
No, that's not how dyslexia works, man.
I know
how dyslexia works.
Yeah, right. a pair of battery jumper cables walk into a bar. The bartender says, "You can come in here, but you better not start anything." Thank you. Have the veal.
All right, man. Come on. We got another email.
Hey, a brain goes into a bar and says to the bartender, "I'll have a beer, please." The bartender says, "Sorry, I can't serve you. You're out of your head."
Yeah, that's great, man.
It's out of sight. You got another email?
Yeah, I got another email from Eric.
Eric, okay.
Well, I was just about to read his last name, but
Eric,
I remembered
Francis Sowski.
How explosive our show is, and how that right. Not only you and I, John, but any of our listeners could be brought to a detention camp because of the W's new attack on the Constitution.
Right.
And we could be detained for eternity. Anyway, Eric says, "Dear John and Scott, your show pisses me off."
What?
"In fact, it angers me, John and Scott." So immediately I read the first line, I'm thinking, well, stop listening, okay? Don't listen anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think
Turn
he's getting pissed off.
Off
at us, you know? So then I keep reading to find out, well, what's he pissed off at us for, John? You know what I'm saying?
Because you're riveted. You're locked in.
"I listened to your last podcast, Ad Hoc 102, and it deeply disturbed me. Not the Ted Danis jokes, but all the bullshit about the United States government. I had to use the interwebs
wow.
and look at those facts about the money spent on Iraq myself." Okay, so he didn't believe us. All right, so he's not very trustworthy.
Right.
So he had to go and check for himself, and we love that. Vet your information. I mean, we talk total nonsense, John. We want to exchange ideas, and we want you to vet it, baby.
Right.
"A quarter of $1 trillion has been spent on a war started by false pretenses. A war that isn't even effective. What the fuck? Why isn't
what?
Someone stopping this regime? I don't think I can wait till 08. Impeach the chimp."
Wow.
Right on, John.
No doubt.
But then he says something in his PS that I didn't agree with. "What the fuck was that with the Rolling Stone cover with that High School Musical taking off his shirt? How many Rolling Stone subscribers care about the next teen American heartthrob? That's major tetanus." I disagree. I think Zac Efron is the next John Travolta, okay? And
yeah.
I'm excited about following his career.
Yeah, you
I'm
sure
excited
are. I know.
To
yeah.
see how effed up a Zac
right.
Efron
no,
can become.
You're totally for a different reason.
Surrounded by complete
yeah.
fame. And if he
I
himself
wish I quit you.
That's what you're
can
for.
Get into Scientology.
You
that's
get
what
into
I'm excited
more than
about.
A Scientology.
I wish
Not
I
only
knew
that,
I quit you.
I think this whole charade with Zac Efron.
Are
and,
you a peanut butter?
Vanessa Hutchins? I think it's
yeah.
a joke. I don't think it's really a romance because I think Zach swings the other way. You know what I'm saying, John?
Swinging both ways?
No, I think he swings completely the other way.
Do you suck dicks?
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
The fuck you waiting for? Bitch, start sucking.
Wow.
Whoa.
It's deep. Are we getting into politics now?
I think we are. I think we're getting into politics, John.
All right.
What do you got?
You had a Bamer thing, didn't you?
I did have a Bamer thing with audio. I have
yeah.
a Bamer with audio.
Or
no,
Boner.
I like to call him Boner. Now, this guy is the He's the Republican leader. All right, so he's the leader of the House, the Republican leader. His name is Boner.
Sorry. I'm waiting for you to finish talking, but you never do. It's like you, I don't know, can you breathe? How do you breathe?
I breathe through my tetanus, John.
All right, we got Boner.
So Boner, now I keep asking myself, who in America still thinks we should be in Iraq? And why do they think we should be in Iraq?
Right.
So go ahead and play
Boner Cries.
Boner. Oh, Boner Cries. This is just give you some background into Boner as a leader. Let's listen to this first.
There are a lot of my colleagues have heard me make this statement that I didn't come here to be a congressman. I came here to do something. And I think at the top of our list is providing for the safety and security of the American people. That's at the top of our list. After 3,000 of our fellow citizens died at the hands of these terrorists, when are we going to stand up and take them on?
You know, first of all, Congressman, I didn't come here to be a congressman. I came here to do something.
I came here to lie to you.
So, Congressman, don't do anything, is what he's saying. And then the when he gets into his rant about when he starts to really break down and cry, it reminds me of something I've seen in a movie, but I cannot. I've heard that thing 10 times, and it's on the tip of my tongue, but I cannot figure
it out. It's like when in Breakfast Club where the kid talks about he's going to shoot himself with a flare gun. He's going to kill himself with a flare.
I don't even remember
that. Yeah, remember? He's Anthony Michael Hall is talking about, his name's Brian at the time, and he's talking about how he can't get an F, and he made an elephant that you pull the trunk and the light's supposed to go on, but it didn't go on. Mm-hmm. And he can't have an F, and he starts crying, and they're like, what was the flare gun for? I was going to kill myself, but it went
off.
Is that
what it reminds you of?
It went off in my locker, and then he's putting his arm over his head, and they're yelling, they're giving him shit, and he's going, mug you. Yeah.
That's what it reminds you of?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to think about that. I'm going to have to listen Brian to it like 100 times, and it'll finally dawn on me what it reminds me of.
Boy, that's a waste of time. 100 times, yeah.
Yeah, kind of like yesterday.
Yesterday.
An hour and 46 minutes.
Okay, you do it from now on.
I'm sorry, Skype cut out. What did you say?
Skype cut out. You do it.
All right, so that's the boner. Now, here's the leader of the Republicans. This just came out. Ads that they're going to be playing on TV.
Right.
And TTN, of course, has an exclusive. We got a hold of them before anybody else.
Right.
And we're going to play some excerpts, John, from these ads. So go ahead. And here's what the boner really, truly believes, John.
The effort that we're engaged in Iraq is to stop terrorism in its tracks. While we went there to get rid of Saddam Hussein, and we succeeded, we went there to help build a democratic government in Iraq, and we succeeded. They've had 3 elections. But it was Al-Qaeda that decided that Iraq should become the central front in their war with us. Al-Qaeda is growing not only in the Middle East, but all around the world, they and their affiliates. They're in Asia, they're in Africa, and they're growing in Europe. They have vowed to kill Americans here and abroad. And if we don't stop them in Iraq, where do we draw the line?
Okay, on so many levels, this guy, how the fuck did this guy make it anywhere? How did he make it past the third grade, Scott?
I can't answer that question, but I can tell you how he made it in the GOP, the Grand Old Party.
The grand old pedophiles.
He talked about family values, which he probably doesn't have any of it.
Yeah.
And he talked about Christ, Jesus Christ.
Oh, right.
And that's where he got to. But everything he said in there, the only thing that was accurate was we got rid of Saddam. That was it.
Oh, no. And Al-Qaeda is growing. Those are the only two.
Oh, right. The only two accuracies. The other things, there's a democratic government in Iraq. Is not a success. That is not a success. He's citing because they've had 3 elections, John, there's a democratic government. Well, there may be a democratic government, but they have no goddamn control
Those
people.
At all.
None. So does that make a democratic government if you have no control? I don't think so.
Democratic.
If everybody's not buying into it. And then the other thing is Al-Qaeda decided that they were going to make this the war on terror.
Yeah.
I thought the W was the decider.
Or the central front.
The central front. I didn't know that Al-Qaeda was the decider. I thought the W was the decider.
Yeah. I'm the decider.
So how dare he say Al-Qaeda's the decider?
The twisted part about the whole thing is that Al-Qaeda is growing around the world. I wonder why.
Jeez, I wonder. I wonder what they could possibly use as a recruiting tool.
Because they hate our freedom. Oh,
yeah, our freedom,
John.
Because we can go to strip clubs. They hate that.
Yeah, that's got to be it.
They hate our freedom.
I'm going to kill myself because of that and blow myself up. Yeah, that makes a lot of fucking sense, you dumbass.
I think they just want us to leave. How about that?
That's exactly what they want. And you got Bomer, too?
Bomer, too. Now, here's he's going to
wrapping it up,
round it up for us. He's going to conclude why
he's
we
coming
need to
home.
Be there.
Yeah.
Coming home, bringing it home.
And who doesn't believe that if we precipitously withdraw our troops, that Al-Qaeda just won't follow us home? This is important to the long-term future for my kids and their kids. This is about protecting the American people today.
Oh, cue the music, you big fucking douchebag.
Yeah, who doesn't believe that, John?
Not me.
That they won't follow us home.
In what?
That's not how terrorists operate.
In the baggage?
I have no idea how they would follow
terrorism
us home.
Terrorism is all about making people scared and, you know, stopping them. That'll be in the next clip. Well, right now, you know, people are freaking out about getting on planes or whatever it is. And, you know, go about your business. Just totally ignore these fucking lunatics.
I don't freak out about that anymore. And I didn't like a year after. I don't think I flew for a year after 9/11.
Here's what you do.
When I got on a plane, it didn't freak me out at all.
Me
because
either.
If some motherfucker's going to get up and say,
I
got a bomb.
Fuck him up.
I am going to fuck him up because he doesn't have a fucking bomb. And he's got some goddamn box cutter.
Right. Here's the
and
other
I
thing.
I am going to do everything I can to bust that motherfucker's ass.
And my recommendation to anybody is get a seatbelt extender. Here's why. Not because I'm just too fat to put one around my waist, but once you wrap that sucker around your hand, that big heavy buckle on the other end becomes a weapon.
Why wrap it around your hand? Use it like a swinging thing, like a la 300. You know?
Well, that too, yeah. Or you just wrap it around so you just have about 6 inches of it hanging off the buckle so you can whip the shit out of the guy with that big heavy end of it. Like it's a nunchuck.
Here's how I would approach. I'd go for the nuts first and, what do you call that? Incapacitate?
Yeah, you don't know. They might be castrated because of this whole religious shit. You never know.
That's true.
It might not work. I go right for the face.
That's an excellent question, John.
The fucking face.
Lacking balls, lacking bits, bullocks, if you kicked them in the groin, they wouldn't feel anything.
No.
Wow. Fascinating.
Fascinating.
Fascinating, John.
Fascinating. Hey, did you hear about Greenspan?
I did hear about Greenspan.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Greenspan said, the reason we're in Iraq is because of oil.
Yeah.
And today.
Today.
What did he say, John, today? What did he say?
Today, clarifying a controversial comment in his new memoir, former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan said he told the White House before the Iraq war that removing Saddam Hussein was essential to secure world oil supplies, according to an interview published on Monday. Greenspan, who wrote in his memoir that the Iraq war is largely about the oil, said in a Washington Post interview that while securing global oil supplies was not the administration's motive, he had presented the White House before the 2003 invasion with the case for why removing the then Iraqi leader was important for global economy. I was not saying that that's the administration's motive, Greenspan said in an interview conducted on Saturday.
That's the interpretation we had.
Right. I'm just saying that if somebody asked me, are we fortunate in taking out Saddam? I would say it was essential. So somebody fucking called him up, man, and said, hey, a-hole.
What do they have on this guy is what I want to know.
Yeah, you need to retract that because we got some shit on you that if you don't, we're going public with it about what you did with the Federal Reserve, manipulating the currency.
You think that was it?
Yeah.
Like he was dressing up as a woman and blowing guys
like
in the
bathroom. Would even care. He's an Ayn Rand freak.
Are you kidding me?
He is totally 100%.
Ugh.
He's all Ugh. Ayn Rand. Objectivism. Oh, they were buddies. Him and Marty.
That is unbelievable,
huh?
John. Unbelievable.
And then this whole thing about Petraeus, right?
General Petraeus.
John Stewart did an excellent job of qualifying the whole Petraeus showdown, the lead up to Petraeus, what Petraeus had to say, what they said about Petraeus. I broke it down into three parts, and would you like to hear it, Scott?
Yes, again, but first, for all the people that don't know what we're talking about, in the USA.
Oh, right, right. Like the they don't said, know. It's all over the Beeb.
The W said, we're going to wait for this report, and we're going to act on the report. Whatever the general on the ground, who happens to be General Petraeus, and of course I'm speaking much more eloquently than the W ever could. Once Petraeus gives us the report, we will act accordingly. We're waiting for the Petraeus report.
Right.
Right on.
And here we go. Here's John Stewart from The Daily Show, who just won another Emmy.
Nice. Congrats, John Stewart.
And you'll hear why. Here it is.
For a long time now, we've wanted to figure out whether or not our strategy in Iraq is working, whether there are signs of progress or perhaps forces there beyond our control. The time to do that hasn't been right, but I feel it coming.
All of Washington is waiting for the progress report that comes in mid-September from General Petraeus.
Yes, yes, hang on. It's don't change strategy yet. Wait.
General Petraeus's report.
Well, we're going to have to wait to see what General Petraeus has to report.
I'm just obviously holding out until we hear from General Petraeus.
I'm going to wait for David to come back, David Petraeus to come back.
We've been hearing about it for months, and now the time has finally arrived.
No! Petraeus! Petraeus! I've pulled an oblique!
Oh, that's genius. That is genius.
That was nice.
I want to work on his staff.
How do we get jobs?
I don't know, but they are some funny fucks over there, I'll tell you.
We could do that shit.
No doubt.
The thing is,
no doubt.
These people do it. We're doing it when we get it, when we get time to do it.
Yeah.
They're doing it as a goddamn job.
Yeah.
Which is 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week. We can come up with that shit.
Think so?
Fucking A.
Let's submit our resume.
All right, then.
And in the second clip here, they talk about what kind of a guy Petraeus is, what kind of a general he really is. And they're really subtle, actually. I think they're very subtle in their description of General Petraeus.
I think he's the Messiah. I'm going to say
you
that right
You think so?
Now. Yeah.
Okay, I thought they were a little lighter in their commentary about that, maybe subtly mentioning the Messiah. Okay, well, let's hear the clip.
I certainly hope that one incredibly relevant to the story here mistake won't cause pundits and politicians to be too cautious in their assessments of the general.
He is a determined, resourceful, and bold commander.
He's remarkable.
Most talented person I ever met in my life.
Right. An incredible soldier.
He's delivering the message. It's sober. It's objective.
A great American.
An expert.
A brilliant man. An athlete.
Very thoughtful.
The heart of a lion.
Almost a miracle worker.
Yes. It's been said he can turn water into bottled water.
I think you're right, Scott.
Here's what
the
John
messianic
Stewart,
prophecy.
Here's what John Stewart has going for him that we don't.
100
goddamn interns is what he has. If we had 100 interns, we'd have the best webcast ever.
No doubt.
Ever, John.
Just worry about delivery. That's all we have to do.
Delivery. That's all we'd have to do. We'd say, hey, intern, get me that clip I wanted you to put together. And that would be that.
In the next clip here, he talks about how Petraeus basically sums it up as this is the first time anybody is hearing about his report. He is not
classified.
It's classified. He hasn't presented it to anyone. So
nobody
could possibly know
Nobody in the world
could know
what he's going to testify right. to Congress.
And it's a shock. It's a shocker, Scott, what he has to say. And I was shocked. Wow. Here it is.
I think.
At the outset, yes. I would like to note.
Okay, we're back. Let's go to the general right now.
I wrote this testimony myself. It has not been cleared by nor shared with anyone in the Pentagon, the White House, or the Congress.
To prove I'm not the White House lackey, I need only read the first word of my report. Dingleberry.
See, we would have put tetanus in
there. You think if they had read that, they'd have let me do that? No.
Tetanus?
The general raises a key point. We keep hearing from President Bush how the surge is meeting its military objectives, but we need more time. Well, yesterday, the good general was whistling a different tune.
The military objectives of the surge are, in large measure, being met. It will take time.
My God. The president's been right the whole time. Even down to the details.
U.S. Marines and Special Operation Forces have been striking terrible blows against Al-Qaeda.
Coalition and Iraqi forces have dealt significant blows to Al-Qaeda.
Anbar province was Al-Qaeda's base in Iraq and was written off by many as lost.
A year ago, the province was assessed as lost.
The consequences of withdrawal would be disastrous.
A premature drawdown of our forces would likely have devastating consequences.
Wow. I bet they're friends on MySpace.
Oh, my God. It's genius. Well, and no doubt, 100 staffers putting that shit together.
But getting back to that, so what was happening is Bush said all this stuff a week ago. And then right. this top secret report that Petraeus had was said a couple of days ago. And it mirrored the W's talking points from a week ago.
Almost
or 2 weeks
to
ago.
A T, man.
Well, no, not to a T. Like the W said disastrous.
Right.
Petraeus said devastating. You know, so they.
Yeah.
They went into Word and they used the thesaurus.
Thesaurus. Said,
oh, it's too close to what I said in the past, Petraeus. and they swapped out some of the words. But I'm just wondering how that all went down. So this guy comes back. Obviously, he has his own opinions, his own observations. And the White House says what? They say, hey, we have this Word document that we trained the chimp on for like 4 weeks. And he finally sputtered it out. Now we're going to give it to you, and we changed some of the words. But here's basically what you're going to say.
Right.
Is that what happened? And the other thing is this Petraeus, there's other people that have come out and said 3 years ago, Petraeus had told them that he wanted to be president someday.
Oh,
that
yeah,
that was one
right.
of his aspirations. I want to be the president. I think I can lead this country. I want to be the president. And this is not the way to do it. Not being the W of all people, the W's.
Well, right.
Lapdog.
Well, here, Admiral, this Admiral Fallon told Petraeus in March that he considered him to be an ass kissing little chicken shit, and added that
I think that assessment is right on.
I hate people like that. He said the sources say that remark reportedly came after Petraeus began the meeting by making remarks that Fallon interpreted as trying to ingratiate himself with a superior. I don't understand that. Can you explain?
Well, here's the deal. We're not only available for celebrities to hire us for like $2,500 a day. We're available for a General Petraeus to hire us for the same amount. And here's what we tell him. Here's what you do, Petraeus. If you want to be the goddamn president, you go before the Senate and you don't listen to anything the W says. You tell it how it is. You tell the goddamn truth. And that is going to be so embraced by the American people that in 4 years, unless you're like dressing up in dresses and giving oral to people at the Minneapolis airport, you're going to be the president of the United States.
So you're talking about Larry Craig and Giuliani.
Yes. I'm talking about the both of them that have no chance. Their political
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Yeah, I know. But, you know.
And while do you have something else about Petraeus?
No.
While we're talking about Larry Craig, I was thinking about this today. I think I could be the lawyer on either side of that case. Either side. I can argue that it was entrapment. And I presented that argument, I think, on the last podcast. Yeah. It was entrapment. I can also argue that if they're going to stick to this, whatever they call it, indecent behavior or whatever he's charged with,
right.
I can convict a Larry Craig. So which way do you want to go?
Both ways, Scott.
You know, you know, the ACLU came out today and they said he shouldn't be convicted.
No.
Because he didn't break any laws. And that's some of the stuff that we talked about last podcast. What law did he break? It is against the law to have sex in public, but they never had sex in public.
Oh, I know. But he's been tried in the court of public opinion, my friend.
No, he, well, that
that's
true.
Go away.
Yes, he has been tried. So I think it's over for
him. It's over. He's done.
But if I was the prosecuting attorney in a Larry Craig, now his major defense is he has a wide stance. That's his major defense. All right. Not to mention that he's peering in stalls. He's got the wide stance. He's waving under the stall. How do you explain that? Okay, I may have a wide stance, but I'm waving my hand under the stall. Did we ever get an explanation for that behavior?
No.
I don't know how you explain that. And then after he gets arrested, he tries to flash his congressman card to try to get out of jail free, and that doesn't work out.
And then if he was really innocent, why'd he perjure himself?
Yeah. Why?
Because
he wanted to get on with things.
Well,
sorry, he lied.
That's perjury.
To get on. That is an excellent point. I don't know if I can defend that, John. But if I am a prosecutor, here's what I do. First, this is the only thing I do as a prosecutor. I don't call any witnesses other than Larry Craig. And I don't even want him to testify. All I want him to do is I call the bailiff and I say, bailiff, please bring in the Exhibit A, the toilet. Could you bring that in and set it right in front of the judge?
Please.
Set the toilet in front of the judge.
Pull your pants down and sit on it.
That's right. Pull your pants down like you're taking a shit and sit on it. How can you have, especially for a thin guy, if you're a big, fat guy.
Like
you're
me, why don't you just say it, man? Say
you're
going
to have a, how big is your waist?
46.
46. So your pants are going to be able to let your legs spread wide. But this is a thin guy.
No, my legs don't go spreading wide. What do you mean
Even in a 46 is what you're saying.
Yeah.
You can't spread your legs wide. So the first thing I would say is, Larry Craig, sit down, take it down your pants like you're taking a shit, okay? Judge, please give me some leeway here.
But even that, 46 inches, you're talking about that it's less than that because it's a circumference. So it's going to be 46 divided by 2 and even less for the thickness of your legs.
Well, let me ask you this, John. When you take a shit, do you pull your pants down beyond your knees?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Boy, I don't. We're going to have to take a survey now.
Oh, I need some room. I got to push my knees apart.
Oh,
I don't
so
push my
push
feet
knees
apart and touch my knees together.
The further down your pants go. Now, let's say Larry Craig sat down and he pushed his pants all the way to his ankles.
Yeah.
Case closed.
Case closed, Honor. Yeah. That's
case
it.
Closed. How could you have a wide stance? His pants are basically shackles around his feet. You can't have a wide stance. Now, let's back it up a little bit, and let's say he's like me, John, where he just takes his pants down to right above the knee.
Right, and you lay your cock on the floor.
Of course. That's why I do it that way. Even then, you cannot have a wide stance. The only way, John, and judge, jury.
A joke just came to me.
Go ahead.
What's the difference between a rooster and Larry Craig?
What?
A rooster says cock-a-doodle-doo, and Larry Craig says any cock-a-doo.
All right, Your Honor, I apologize for that digression, but getting back to my exhibit, jury, if you will, Larry Craig pull your pants down. He pulls them down to just above the knee.
Tell that joke.
And he can't. How could you spread your legs out to encompass the room to go into another stall? It's impossible. So, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Larry Craig never unbuckled his buckle, zipped his pants down, and pulled them down. He never did that.
Right.
What he did is sit on the toilet because he was cruising for homosexual love. Case closed. Done.
Cock-a-doodle-doo versus any cock-a-doodle-doo.
Of course, I'd bring in some photographs, some pictures, some presentations, and that would be that.
Right.
But they can hire me for either side.
You're a hell of a counselor.
I will defend Larry Craig, or I will prosecute him. I can go either way. Because I don't think it's a breaking the law until they actually have sex.
I think you make a better Ironsides. Mark. Get over here.
An Ironsides.
Raymond Burr. Mm. Hey, man.
Is it wrong?
You remember I talked about Blackwater?
I remembered at you.
Blackwater Security. It's a company that was hired by the Pentagon or somebody. Blackwater USA. They're in
mercenaries. Yeah. It's a group of private contractors that are mercenaries
right
over there.
And they can't be tried because there's no law.
There's no law.
And we had that Sergeant Major from the Marines in, and we talked about Blackwater. And
Here's what's despicable. Despicable is that these guys make like, $500 a day? And they outnumber the government's military personnel that's in Iraq right now.
It's a fucking travesty, Scott.
Whoa. Who is that?
What are you talking about?
Who was that?
I don't know.
All right.
What happened?
So anyway, let's say there's 100,000 troops, American troops. There's more than that of these Blackwater contractors, these mercenaries that have no governing body, that have no laws. They could do whatever the fuck they want.
And, we love those guys, man.
It's a travesty.
We love those Blackwater motherfuckers. Let me tell you why.
Is this Satan? Are you going to stick around? What happened?
What's up, man? What are you talking about?
I cannot carry on two conversations.
I don't know what's happening, dude.
I don't know what's happening.
What are you
either,
saying to me? Why do you keep calling me Satan?
Are we having problems with Skype or what?
No, you're calling me Satan, and that's stupid.
That is stupid.
I'm not Satan. I'm John.
That's right on.
Anyway,
it's not the Satan and Scott
that's
show.
That's right.
Scott John Satan and Scott show.
I think you get top billing then. Right
what
now it's
mean?
John and Scott, but
if it was Satan, it would be Scott and Satan. It's the Scott and Satan show?
Yeah.
Forget that. We should get
my
the
ass hurts for some
show,
goddamn
what
reason
I'm
too. Why does my ass hurt all the time?
Hey man, I told you not to talk about that.
Oh, okay. Anyway, the Blackwater thing. Were we talking about Blackwater?
Yeah, the mercenaries
over
there.
They make like $30,000 a month compared to what our soldiers make. Well, here,
which is still underpaid.
You're right.
And
get
so
this.
Are our soldiers.
Iraq has finally like done something in their own on their own behalf. And this is commendable. I don't know if it's right or wrong or whatever. I'm not there. I'll be in the fetal position crying like a little baby if I was over there. But from my perspective, this sounds like they're like starting to take over and doing their governmenting duties. It says
duties.
Here, yeah, duty. It says here, Iraq's Interior Ministry has revoked the license of Blackwater USA, an American security firm whose contractors are blamed for a Sunday gun battle in Baghdad that left 8 civilians dead. It says Sunday's firefight took place near Nasur Square, an area that straddles the predominantly Sunni Arab neighborhoods of Mansour and Yarmouk. In addition to the fatalities, 14 people were wounded, most of them civilians, the official said. The ministry said the incident began around midday when the convoy of sport utility vehicles came under fire from unidentified gunmen in the square. The men in the SUVs described by witnesses as Westerners. Returned fire, and the witnesses said the vehicles are the kind used by Western security firms. We have revoked Blackwater's license to operate in Iraq. As of now, they are not allowed to operate anywhere in the Republic of Iraq. Interior Ministry spokesman General, Brigadier General Abdul Karim Khalaf said Monday, the investigation is ongoing and all those responsible for Sunday's killing will be referred to Iraqi justice. So there you have it.
Yeah, but what's going to be interesting is following this story. If they want to remove Blackwater from Iraq, they're going to have to remove like 110,000 people.
I love Blackwater.
And you would think that CNN would talk about that. And just because some Iraqi guy says that, does that really hold any legitimacy whatsoever? I mean, we're the ones running Iraq right now.
Right. And I totally. But
this one thing, this one story is going to tell everybody how it really is. If Blackwater leaves, then the Iraqis do have some sense of power. And if they do not leave, that means it's just some Iraqi guy spouting off. We're still in control.
Right.
That's what it means.
Right.
And so much for the successful democracy, Boner.
Have you heard the, what the hell's the name of this new book that's out? The Shock something. Shock. Have you seen
Shock
this?
And Awe?
No. God damn it. What is this chick's name?
A chick.
Naomi something or other.
Campbell.
No.
Watts.
No. Naomi Klein, The Shock Doctrine.
The Shock Doctrine?
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
The Shock Doctrine is basically, it's a new book that's out by Naomi Klein. And it talks about the rise of disaster capitalism. She's done a lot of research on, including checking out this guy, Milton Friedman.
Let's get her on the show. Obviously, she knows Smedley Butler, that would right?
I was going to bring that up because her whole book is basically about how in a time of disaster or shock or anything like Katrina or an earthquake or a
9/11.
A coup. 9/11.
Pearl Harbor. That's what I said, asswipe.
Yeah, right. Whatever. That's the time when things like the Patriot Act get pushed through the system without anybody reading it. And it's something that's always been on the shelf, you know, and they're just waiting for something like this to happen to dust it off and push it through. And part of it is like, okay, let's change the entire economic balance. And Milton Friedman, who was an economist, who's all for this laissez-faire capitalism, one of the things that happens and they think should happen is that as soon as there's some sort of disaster right there, just cut taxes, reduce the government, throw in all this stuff while people are in shock. And opportunists like capitalists come out of the woodwork, like with Katrina, and they start buying up all that property down there and they say, fuck it to everybody that's down there. And she wrote a book, and then the guy who did Children of Men made like a little quick short movie out of it that you can see on YouTube or Naomi Klein's website.
You have to give me that link. We'll post it on our homepage when I index the show, John.
And even
I don't know if you know this. If you visit our homepage, everything is indexed we talk about.
It's out of sight, yeah.
So send me that link. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Anyway, so even critics of her writing and stuff come out and show up on the blog, and they're kind of like, wow, she's actually done her homework. Yeah, she might be totally left-wing, crybaby, you know, I haven't read the book, but some of them are like, I got to agree with some of the stuff she's coming up with. Because she doesn't go out there and just spew this opinion. She actually interviews people and then throws it in her book and says, this is what their perspective of what's going on. And like she would show up in a line, getting food or collecting clothes or whatever. And Katrina just to listen to the people talking in that line and wondering what the fuck is going on here. And finding out, like some congressman said, finally, we've cleaned up the streets because of Katrina wiped out all those homes where people, the poor people lived. So they had this like public housing, and finally this, you know, this flooding came through and the hurricane came through and kicked all those people out. So the streets are all cleaned up now. So now we can bring in some real investors to rebuild it and sell $500,000 homes down there.
Yeah, but who's going to buy $500,000 homes if the government's not going to do anything about the levies?
Sure they are. The government won't. Those people will pay for it. They'll pay the high price in taxes. The people will buy the $500,000 homes.
Yeah, but somebody's got to put the levies in place, and they're only building them again for Category 3. In the next Category 5 that comes through, it's going to be a flood zone again. It's below goddamn sea level.
Yeah.
If I'm going to invest, John, I'm investing in Waukegan. it can be gotten for a great price now. It's right along the lake. It may take 10 years. It may take 50 years, but it's going to go through the goddamn roof.
Yeah.
That's where you invest, not in New Orleans. What idiot is investing in New Orleans? See, again, we should be real estate consultants. What can't we do, John? We can do anything.
Here's a review of the book from John Gray from The Guardian. He writes, over the past few decades, many of the ideas of the far left have found new homes on the right. Lenin believed that it was in conditions of catastrophic upheaval that humanity advances most rapidly, and the idea that economic progress can be achieved through the devastation of entire societies has been a key part of the neoliberal cult of the free market. Soviet-style economies left an inheritance of human and ecological devastation, while neoliberal policies have had results that are not radically dissimilar in many countries. Yet while the Marxist faith in central planning is now confined to a few dingy sex or dingy, a quasi-religious belief in free markets continues to shape the policies of governments.
Yeah, whatever the fuck that means. That was right over my head.
And I read some stuff on The Guardian, so I thought this was going to be a good one, but it wasn't.
Nice going. All right.
I'm a big
now
suck
let's
ass.
Talk about conspiracy. Let's talk about conspiracy theories. Now, I'm not a big 9/11 conspiracy.
No, and neither is this chick. She thinks the conspiracy theorists are nuts.
I just want to ask some basic questions. Why did number 7 fall? Why did that happen, John? You know, I talked to Mr. Shmuel about that. He said because there were diesel tanks throughout the number 7 building.
Yeah.
Now, what are diesel tanks doing in a building? I have no idea.
I have no clue.
But that's his explanation. He saw a documentary, and that's why number 7 fell like a demolition. I want to know why a U.S. government plane, a doomsday plane, was in the air before fighters were to shoot down the plane that hit the Pentagon.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to know that. Good question. That's what I want to know. Nobody can tell me that. So there's questions I have about 9/11, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I just want to know why.
Why?
Right? But now let's, you and I, John, imagine that we are conspiracy theorists. And let's take it to the extreme. Take it to the ultimate extreme here when we talk about these next stories.
All right.
Remember the one, John, about the B-52 bomber that had 6 nuclear weapons loaded onto
it
by accident, John?
Yeah.
By accident. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
which of course could not have happened by accident for a dozen different reasons, because I used to load nuclear weapons on aircraft, John, so I know. Airman First Class Todd Blue was assigned to the unit that provided security for that bomber at the Minot Air Force Base. Guess what happened to him, John? He died.
He died.
Right. And Todd is not the only recent death of the Minot Base people. Minot-based Airman Adam Bars died on July 2nd. Airman Weston Kissel on July 17th. One died in a motorcycle accident while on leave in Tennessee. The other was found dead in his home. In addition, John Frew, the B-52 pilot based in Florida, apparently committed suicide in a secluded area while on vacation on August 30th. Although not widely known, John apparently was actually a major with the Air Force Special Operations Command. Four deaths, one unexplained, one by accident, and two by suicide. And these all may or may not involve the six nuclear weapons that flew over our country by accident.
Yeah, I heard it was five, and now it's six.
Well, that's the other thing. First they were saying six, now they're saying five. So is one missing, John? Is one missing? And they don't want to cough that up. You know what I'm saying?
So you think they want to do Operation Northwoods and detonate one somewhere and blame it on the Iranians?
Hold on. Before we get to that, let me quote the greatest movie ever made, The Godfather, okay? Now, this is a scene between Michael and his fiance, Kay. Michael, of course, played by the great Al Pacino. Kay, played by a young Diane Keaton before her nose job. Here's what Michael has to say. My father is no different than any powerful man, Kay. Any man with power, like a president or a senator. So he's trying to explain to her what the dad does for a living, right?
Yeah.
Kay says, do you know how naive you sound? I meant to say naive. Do you know how naive you sound? Michael, presidents and senators do not have men killed. And Michael says, oh, who's being naive, Kay?
Right.
Right
good,
on.
Good point.
All right, now let's turn to 9/11. 6 years after 9/11, the American public have still not been provided with a full and truthful account of the single greatest terror act in U.S. history. What they got was a turkey, John. The 9/11 Commission was hamstrung by official obstruction. It never managed to ascertain the whole truth of what happened on September 11th. The chair and vice chair of the 9/11 Commission, respectively, Thomas Keene and Lee Hamilton, assert in their new book, Without Precedent, that they were set up to fail, John. They were starved of funds to do a proper investigation. They also confirmed that they were denied access to the truth and misled by senior officials in the Pentagon and the Federal Aviation Authority. And that this obstruction and deception led them to contemplate slapping officials with criminal charges. Despite the many public statements by 9/11 commissioners and staff members acknowledging they were repeatedly lied to, not a single person has ever been charged, tried, or reprimanded.
Here's my take on that whole thing. There was always three schools of thought. One was, it just happened, okay, and nobody could do anything about it. Then there was, it happened, and people knew it was going to happen and let it happen. And then there's the third one, which is the most probably ridiculous one, was it was orchestrated.
Where are you at, John? Were you one, two, or
three? I'm in the middle.
I'm at number two as well.
I really think that there's a very good possibility, and it only takes a few people to know that it's going to happen and keep it secret and let it happen.
Well, and we've heard testimony from Condi Rice about the memo about Al-Qaeda wants to strike the U.S. With planes. Title of the memo.
Right, that's a great one, but not even that. Tenet was running around saying that Al-Qaeda is going to fly these planes into a building. They're going to attack. It's going to be soon. And everybody said, they joked about this guy. Oh, God, he's always running around with his hair on fire. And like I said, that's one of the things about conspiracy theory. It just takes one person to say, that guy's a nut. And everybody goes, yeah, he sure is. Jesus Christ, you know, and well, then the rumor spreads.
The other thing is the W's brother was the head of security at the World Trade Center. Now, how does that happen? How does the W's brother get the contract to be the head of security at the World Trade Center?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, we have questions, John. Can somebody fucking answer them? No. Put us in the 9/11 commission. Give us like a $2 billion budget. I mean, they blow $8 billion in Iraq. They just send this cash over there, and it ends up missing. Give John and Scott $2 billion to investigate this shit. We'll come to the truth, John.
The truth.
All right, so continuing on. So we got this B-252 bomber.
B-252,
yeah,
right?
The B-2. It's a new model.
And that was Marvin Bush, by the way.
Does W say nuclear?
Nuclear.
Nuclear. So we got these six nuclear weapons. Five are accounted for. One is missing. Then we got 9/11 Commission. They can't get to the truth. They write a book and say, we were obstructed. We didn't have the funds, and people lied to us. Now, are you ready for another piece of the puzzle, John?
I can't take it.
How about a draft? According to Congressman Ron Paul, Iran is the next neoconservative target. Should the invasion occur of Iran, John, there is a possibility that a national draft will follow suit.
Only once, shame on you.
Even though there has been no draft in this country since 73, 18 to 26-year-old young men have still had to register. Now, what would it take for a draft to occur? I mean, if the W came out tomorrow and said, we need to start drafting people, that would be it. The W is over.
Well,
it's over, John.
Right, right. First of all, the W comes out and says, we're going to reduce the troops down by 30,000 and a couple thousand by Christmas.
Right.
And everybody's, I know people are sitting there, dude, he's reducing the troops. But by army rule, because of the surge, they put the surge in basically because they knew by next spring that they have to rotate out 30,000 that were from the original 30,000 that went over to fight the war in the first place. So by army rule, they have to rotate out 30,000 troops, which brings the troop levels back down to exactly 130, which they were at pre-surge.
Forever.
Yeah,
and
the
they
forever.
Will be forever.
So at some point, yeah, you're right. There might be, like you said, what would it take? It might take that, which would totally ruin the W because there'd be so many protests in the street. Or it might have to take another catastrophe.
That's right, John. That's what I'm getting at. Something dramatic, John, has to happen to galvanize the American public. The American public to buy that we need a draft. The American public to change their complete opinion and say, yes, these terrorists are out of control. We got to fight them there so they don't come here.
And I think I have it right here.
And what is that?
Here it is.
Soylent Green is made out of people.
What was that?
That was an impression.
Of what?
I was doing of Charlton Heston. What were you playing? What clip was that you were playing? Anyway.
Soylent Green is made out of people.
What I'm saying, John, is if I'm a conspiracy theorist, which I'm not, but if I were to take it to some illogical end, I would say that the government sent that plane over the American continental United States with six nukes. It only arrived with five nukes. One of the nukes is now available for the government to use on their own people. Explode the nuke.
You mean
people. And I'm going for like a Des Moines, Iowa.
Des Moines, Iowa.
Explode the nuke to enrage the people to then have them say, yes, let's go after Iran. It had to be the Iranians.
You mean like the government-grade anthrax that was
sent right.
Only
and not only that.
To the left-wingers?
When after the nuke explodes and W says we need to go after Iran, we're declaring war on Iran and we're in war with Iran, what is the next move for the W? Cancel the elections.
Cancel.
We're in a time of war. I'm canceling the elections.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here. And not only that, he's got the power. Currently, he has the power to declare martial law.
No doubt.
Not only that, John. FEMA. You remember FEMA?
Yeah.
Those fucktards that fucked up New Orleans and couldn't do a goddamn thing. You know what they've been busy doing? They haven't been building up New Orleans.
No.
They've been building 800 detention camps throughout the United States that are currently fully staffed.
Come on.
With nobody in them.
I haven't read that. Are you serious?
What are they waiting for, John? What are they waiting for?
They're waiting
for the W to declare martial law, and for anybody that dissents, for anybody that says it's not right to attack Iran, to throw them in those camps. And who's going first, John?
Us.
That's right. And John and Scott, Total Talk Nonsense. We'll be there first, and hopefully before we get sent there, I'll be able to grab my portable mixing board and some mics, and we'll still be able to carry on our podcast.
Wow.
Whoa. Probably going to be hard to get internet access in a detention camp.
You're right. Here it is, Scott. There are over 800 prison camps in the United States, all fully operational and ready to receive prisoners. They are all staffed and even surrounded by full-time guards, but they are all empty. These camps are to be operated by FEMA should martial law need to be implemented in the United States, and all it would take is a presidential signature on a proclamation and the attorney general's signature on a warrant to which a list of names is attached. Ask yourself if you really want to be on Ashcroft's list. Well, that's kind of old.
That's old.
But
I'm sure those camps haven't closed. Now, what I'm thinking is between waterboarding and, like sexual humiliation, torture.
Yeah.
We'd have time to podcast.
Yeah,
we'd get the word out.
Yeah, I'm sure.
About our predicament and the downfall of the USA by the Bush regime, the W. I shouldn't have said Bush. We should bonk that out. I bet you they're listening for Bush, but not the W.
Right.
They don't listen for the W.
The W.
The W.
It says here, in spite of the fact that monkeys continue to cover their eyes, ears, and mouths, they're still glued to their TV sets. And you can bet these Darwinian primates are getting nervous along with the rest of the U.S.
I'm getting nervous, John.
Martial law is being heavily practiced in the United States.
I ain't no monkey.
It has now been decided that being forced to show your bags, purses, and IDs upon command is not unconstitutional. You can be arrested as an American citizen for failure to do so. The line between police, military, FEMA, echo dictators, and Homeland Security personnel has blurred, and we are vulnerable to the powers
vulnerable.
Of
John,
them.
I just saw a video today on YouTube.
But why?
Of a kid expressing his opinion. All he was doing was talking, and he got tasered.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I just saw that today. That was it. John Kerry was speaking somewhere. I don't know if the video's from today or if it was just posted today. John Kerry was speaking somewhere. He spoke for 2 hours, and then he opened up for questions. And a student got up there, and he started to, instead of asking a question, he started to talk about how the election was stolen and going through the facts of the 2004 election. And all of a sudden, he's surrounded by security. And he even told them, hey, he spoke for 2 hours. I'm going to inform the people, and then I'm going to ask my question.
Yeah.
And he keeps speaking, and these fucking guys taser him for talking. For talking, John.
Oh, my God.
About a stolen election.
That's fucked up.
That is fucked up. What kind of a goddamn country are we living in here? And these religious zealots are going to take us down the toilet.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because of Jesus.
Was it like that?
All I'm hoping, John, is that when the feds do come and get us, Paulie B and Tony Hearn are there too. Because then it'll become an international
right
event. How are they going to get out of that one?
I'm just hoping I don't shit myself when they taser me.
If Punky doesn't keep broadcasting, you don't think that's going to go unnoticed, John?
Right, yeah.
You don't think the UK, that the Queen is going to get involved? She's a listener, John. I don't know about you, but I know.
Well, just make sure we carry recording devices on us wherever we go.
Right on. We may have to, like, carve some out of soap. But we'll do it. Did they give you soap in, like, torture camps?
They give
I don't know.
Yeah, right up to tetanus. Yeah, no doubt.
No doubt. I just have one last political story.
All right.
And this is about one of
the
W's.
This is the ending music is being cued.
One of the W's buddies. What about Phil? Phil's not coming?
We're at, like, 150 right now,
Scott.
Come on,
man. Come on. Phil was going to Skype in. Is that him?
I don't know. It's weird, man. Like, he's mentioned his name, and all of a sudden, he's calling.
You know, I got to tell you something happened to me at work today. I was having the worst time with a printer.
Yeah.
I could not get this thing to print. All I had to print was a 13-page document.
Right.
It kept jamming. It kept telling me that it needed to load trade 4 when I was printing from trade 2. I mean, I was going out of my mind. I was about to bash my head through the goddamn wall. And right when the little message on the printer said, paused, warming up, and then it went to, like, jam in door, in the right-hand door, I said, Jesus Christ! And guess what?
It started printing.
It started printing.
Nice.
So there was a jam in the right-hand door. I said, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ answered my subliminal subconscious prayer and got that fucking thing to print my 13 pages. That is out of sight, isn't it?
Let me walk over to my computer.
All right, walk over to your computer.
I got to walk over.
Answer the Skype call.
All right, I'm walking over right now. I had to open the door and close it. I'm walking back. I think we got him.
Because your computer's in a secure room.
Right. He should be on. Are you there, Phil? I'm still walking.
Hello? I can hear you walking.
Hello?
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 I'm a little bit confused now. Did you put an effect on Phil's voice? Ow. Who is that?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
It's Alfie.
I hear Scott. Is that Scott
it's
on the
other? It's Alfie.
Yo, Phil, what's up? I think Alfie's joined us. What's happening, Alfie? Did you Skype in as well?
No, I'm kidding. I was just doing his voice.
Oh, okay.
I can imitate him.
You can imitate
him. Yeah.
All right, Phil. Hey, it's a pleasure to have you back after how many weeks, John? It's like 10
weeks.
Yeah,
10 weeks.
Well, it's a pleasure to be back.
Thanks for coming last night.
Well, I was glad to be here last night. I'm sorry to hear that John totally fucked the whole thing up. But hey,
all right, let's get started with your news.
Hold on, before get started, Phil, I have one more thing to talk about. Now, Bush backer.
All right, we're at 2 hours, dude. Come on.
Banks on Iraq's failure. A Texas oil company whose CEO is a longtime confidant of the W, with access to the most closely held U.S. intelligence, has entered into an agreement to explore for oil in Iraq's semi-autonomous Kurdistan region. You know what this means, John? This columnist, Paul Krugel, you know what it means to him? This agreement shows that Dallas-based Black Hunt Oil Company, Chief Executives Ray L. Hunt are effectively betting against the survival of Iraq as a nation. That's what Paul Krugman of the New York Times says. All right, I'm ready to turn it
so
over
it's
to
not,
Phil whenever
it's,
he's ready.
It's Black Hunt.
It's Black Hunt.
Not Lick Hunt.
Not Lick Hunt. It's
not
Black,
Black
Hunt.
Not Lick Hunt.
Right. And it's not Mike Hunt.
Right. Not Mike.
It's Black
Hunt.
Hunt.
Black Hunt.
Right. It's not Mike Roch. It's Black Hunt.
All right. I just wanted to get that straight. It sounded like you said Lick
straight
Hunt. Lick Hunt. Or it's not. It's Black Hunt and not Mike Hunt.
It is not Mike Hunt. It's Black it is not Hunt. Mike Roch. It is Black Hunt.
Right. And we have Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Yes. Phil right. McCracken Whitcomb has joined us to deliver the news.
Are you there, Phil?
Of course I'm here. I'm always ready.
You ready for your intro?
I am ready for my intro, John.
All right.
Now, with your award-winning TTN
Thank you, John.
News, Phil
just so
McCracken Whitcomb.
And our first story tonight.
Don't talk over the intro, you douchebag.
Disney drops plans for Mickey Mouse wine. Disney drops plans for a Mickey Mouse wine. Goofy Zock for Dockers, Minnie Mouse vibrating dildo, and Donald Duck Instafuck still under development. Next story, John. 16-year-old boy attacked by a rabid fox chokes the animal to death with his bare hands. Authorities still don't know how a 16-year-old boy could develop such wrist strength. Next story, John. Alaska bird makes longest nonstop flight ever measured. In related news, a Canadian bird completes longest binge drinking just outside of Toronto. This bird is known to sleep with celebrities and goes by the name the Word Whore. Next story, John. Computer electrocutes sweaty student.
What?
T-1000 sought for questioning. A college student was so worried about his expenses, he refused to turn his air conditioner on. Even when he noticed it was hot enough to overheat his computer. 20-year-old Wu, a student from Shanghai, decided instead to take off the computer case around his CPU to help cool it off. His sweaty legs came into contact with the computer's wiring and electrocuted him. Medical examiners found bruises on his legs and blood in his nostrils, confirming death by electrocution.
Wow.
Next story, John. A great white shark. With impressive, a great white shark, that is, with impressive set of choppers spotted off coast of England, causing panic among the great white pasty Brits with less than stellar dental work. Next story, John.
I might be one of the biggest cocks on the planet.
Is that a bicycle in your crotch, or are you really happy to see me?
Come on!
Boy, 13 impaled on handlebars.
Oh.
A 13-year-old boy is recovering from the hospital after a handlebars of his bicycle impaled his groin in a freak accident.
Ow.
Boy, an eye-watering accident youngster who has not been named fell off his bicycle after climbing a curb in Canvey Island, Essex. Paramedics called firefighters who cut away the rest of the bicycle, leaving the handlebars in his groin.
Oh.
The ambulance serviceman spokesman said, "The boss impaled him in the left side of his groin by about 15 centimeters." Next story, John.
Oh, God.
John, this is a follow-up story. Remember the guy who dug up a corpse for sex based on the deceased chick's obit? Do you remember that? Do you remember the guy?
I heard he said to his buddies he was passing the funeral home.
What did he say, John?
Want to stop in for a cold one?
Oh, that always cracks me up, John. Anyway, remember that guy who dug up the corpse for a sex based on deceased chick's obit pic? The picture of an obit? Do you remember that guy? I reported it. It's a follow-up story, John.
Right, got it.
Well, the charges were dropped, okay? So in other words, it's still okay to have sex with stiffs in Wisconsin. Next story, John. A couple of new Bin Laden visitors. Let me start over. A couple of new Bin Laden videos have been released. Turns out Bin Laden's beard is real, but the video is not. In related news, teeth are real, and the tooth fairy is not. Next story, John.
Oh, nice.
Fred Phelps. And our next story, John. Fred Phelps. Attempt to erect. Fred Phelps.
What?
Attempt to erect anti-gay statue in Matthew Shepard's hometown goes flaccid.
Oh.
In related news, this is the second time that he couldn't get it up. Next story, John. A man who lived in his own zoo of lizards and insects was fatally bitten by a pet black widow spider.
It was
then eaten by the other creepy crawlers. Police broke into the Mark Vogel's apartment to find spider Bettina, along with 200 others, several snakes, a gecko lizard called Helmet, and several thousand termites had gorged on his body. Neighbors alerted police after becoming alarmed by the stench. And horrified officers were met with a nightmare scene. Oh. The police spokesman said, "It was like a horror movie. His corpse was all over the sofa."
Oh, God.
Giant webs draped him. Spiders were all over him. They were coming out of his nose and his mouth. This was everything that one could imagine in a world of reptiles. Oh. Next story, John.
Anything come out of his
pet anus? I believe that was also in the report. Census data shows high birth rates fuel Latino growth. Census data, John, shows high birth rates fuel Latino growth. So in other words, when a group of people has more babies, there are more of them.
That's
next
genius.
Story, John.
That's genius.
A 23-year-old Serb was found dead and half-eaten in a bear cage of a Belgrade zoo. This weekend, during the annual beer festival, a man was found naked with his clothes lying intact inside the cage. Two adult bears, Masha and Misha, had dragged the body to their feeding corner and reacted angrily when keepers tried to recover it. There's a good chance he was drunk and drugged. Only an idiot would jump into the bear cage, zoo director Vuk Bajevic told Reuters. Local media reported that police found several mobile phones inside the cage, as well as bricks, stones, and beer cans. Next story, John.
Bricks and stones may break my bones,
but beer cans will never harm me.
Beer cans will never harm me.
Family who found condom in soup can taste. Family who found condom in soup can taste extra noodle. Campbell's claims it's a new product. Choking the chicken noodle soup.
Oh,
next story, John.
Yeah.
A dwarf's penis gets stuck in a vacuum. A dwarf performer at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival had to be rushed to the hospital after his penis got stuck in a vacuum cleaner during an act that went horribly awry. Daniel Blackner, or Captain Dan, the demon dwarf, was due to perform at the Circus of Horrors at the festival, known for its oddball, offbeat performances. The main part of his act was him to appear on stage with a vacuum cleaner attached to his member with a special apparatus. The attachment broke before the performance, and Blackner tried to fix it using extra strong glue, but unfortunately let it dry for only 20 seconds instead of the 20 minutes required.
Oh.
He then joined it directly, John, to his organ.
Oh.
The end result, a solid attachment, laughter, mortification, and then hospitalization.
Oh, I got some
audio.
It was
the most embarrassing moment of my life when I wielded the packed Eddie with a vacuum attached to me, Blackner said. I just wish the ground could swallow me up. Luckily, they saw me quickly, so the embarrassment was short-lived. And, John, yes, I did give you audio if you'd like to play that clip right now.
Here we go. Wow.
It's amazing.
Next
it sounds
story,
so
John.
Real. Wait a minute. I have a joke. I have two jokes.
Go ahead, John.
When's the only time you slap a dwarf in the face?
I don't know.
When he says, "Gee, your hair smells terrific." Did you hear about the dwarf with one ball?
I did not.
He was a little testy.
Here you go, John. Next story. A recent study, John, finds that most kids don't want to be astronauts. They just want a happy marriage. Ironically, the odds of becoming an astronaut are way better. Next story, John. Judge rules fiancé, man who has suffered a series of strokes can have his sperm. Did you get that, John? That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
A judge rules that a fiancé of a dying man who has suffered a series of strokes can have his sperm. I predict a few more strokes in his future. Next story, John.
Oh, nice.
A pastor has sex with his daughters to teach them to be good wives. A fundamentalist church pastor had sex with two of his teenage daughters to educate them on how to be good wives. A Southern Australian court has heard. The man told court the sex was not about fulfilling the desires, but about teaching his daughters how to behave for their husbands when they eventually married, as dictated, of course, in Scripture, John.
Right.
Next story. The Pope Benedict 16, blast Europeans for not having enough children. Apparently, there is a shortage of altar boys. Next story, John.
Oh, nice.
Good news, once declared dead, man is still alive. Bad news, he finds out in the middle of his autopsy. A Venezuelan man who had been declared dead woke up in the morgue in excruciating pain after medical examiners began their autopsy. Carlos Camacho, 33, was declared dead after a highway accident and taken to the morgue, where examiners began an autopsy only to realize something was amiss when he started bleeding. They quickly sought to stitch up the incision on his face.
Oh.
I woke up because the pain was unbearable, Camacho said, according to the report on Friday in leading newspaper El Universal. His grieving wife turned up at the morgue to identify her husband's body, only to find him moved into a corridor and alive. He said he's looking forward to attending Festivus Tetanus in 2 weeks. Next and last story, John. Larry Craig's bathroom becomes a tourist attraction. We had to just stop and check out the bathroom. It's a second stall from the right. Airport considering painting footsteps. I'm sorry. Airport considering painting footprints on the floor so tourists can check their stance. And that's the news, John.
Oh. We couldn't hear a word you said. You just keep babbling.
Don't I? I'm much like Scott in that.
Get out.
Way. Once you give me a mic, I can't stop yapping.
I'm sorry.
What did you say?
Scott, hang up on him.
I can't wait to meet Pauly B and Tony Hurd.
Hang up on him.
Festivus. And I'm hoping that the word whore shows up because I think my stature, being 6'6 and wearing, I'm very stylish. I wear fur. I love fur and I love leather. I think the word whore is not going to be able to say no.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, John and Scott? Thank you.
Yeah. Hang up on him, Scott, would you?
I can't hang up on him. You got the Stipe connection. The Stipe connection.
Stipe. Stipe.
If you will, hang up on me, but I am going to hang up on you first.
Fine.
Click.
All right then, Scott. We gotta go. Is he gone?
What are we at? Yeah, he's gone. We hung up. What are we looking at?
We're at 208.
A 208?
208. It's a TTN marathon. let's do an ad hoc. Why don't we?
A 208. We only did 146 yesterday. What the hell happened?
149. We're over budget.
It is unbelievable, John. All right, we hope to see you all next week. We won't be putting out anything till after Pauly B and Tony Hearn get here. Hopefully they'll be on the next podcast with us, and you have 2 weeks to prepare for Festivus Tetanus at the Beacon Tap and Display on September 29th. If you need a place to stay, email either John or Scott, and we'll hook you up. All right. Anything else, John?
All right. Do you have anything else to say? No. My father-in-law is coming into town. They'll probably shoot Paulie B.
Is he coming to Festivus Titanus?
No.
Why not?
He's deaf.
So?
It's going to be Festivus Deaf Famous.
You can feel AKC.
The Titanus?
In the Titanus.
No doubt.
Yeah, we'll hook him up with a special Titanus.
vibrator?
Yes.
All right. Wait, I got some audio of it. You want to hear a Titanus vibrator?
Yeah.
Okay, here it is. That's good.
Oh, fuck.
All right, we got to go, man. We're out here. I'm John.
All right, man. So after we end the show,
I'm John.
You're going to play me the show to make sure that
I'll play you
didn't
show.
Record it through the mic.
Yeah, I did it right.
All right.
Asshole.
Go ahead.
All right. Go ahead.
John. He's John.
He's Scott.
And we are Total Talk Nonsense signing off.
Nonsense. Yeah, we're Nonsense.
Ad hoc episode 103.
Later.
And hopefully this week we will have our first
Christ, you ever shut up? I
don't real know. Episode 101 with three parts, including the great Paulie B and Tony Hearn all the way from the UK.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Are you sure? Wait, let's. Are you sure?
I'm totally sure because my back teeth are floating and I gotta take a piss, John. I gotta take a leak so goddamn bad. My back teeth are floating.
All right, we're out of here. Later.
Later.
You're listening to John and Scott.
I'll be right back.
Total Talk Nonsense.